Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Spotlight. This is Spotlight 2, and what I'm going to feature is another book that was released this past Wednesday. It's DC Universe Rebirth. And this was probably a guarantee that I'd talk about this in some form or other. Joey Hargrove wanted to know my thoughts on this because he said that I got him onto DC a while back, and That's a real honor that somebody wanted to hear my thoughts. I was going to do it anyway, because this, like I said, this is like a diary. Well, Mike M's Weekly Reads is. But I feel this book deserves a spotlight. There's so many things to talk about, and it's going to be spoiler-free. So please do yourself a favor. Do not listen to this until you've read the book, unless you have no plan to read the book. Well, then maybe it will give you something that you want to read the book. Hopefully that'll be the case. But especially to longtime readers, because this book will mean something very, very different to people that have been reading for a while than to people who might have just jumped on with the New 52. Because the concepts and things you may have not seen before in the New 52. And they were there for a very, very long time in the DCU prior to the New 52. And this book was also spoiled, just like Captain America, unfortunately, but it was worse. It was done a week prior to the release. Somebody started to spill the beans, and then it started like a virus, and the buzz was positive, which, unlike Cap, it wasn't. But I managed to avoid it. I'm starting to hate the internet for spoilers. It's like everybody has to spoil stuff. So like when I put stuff on the web, I try not to spoil anything. I'll say whether I liked it or I didn't like it. And I've deleted posts before that were underneath my thread because they reveal a spoiler, and I don't want... I mean, yeah, it's great to have discussion, and there are discussion threads. Derek, my brother from another mother, Daryl Taylor, often puts threads on the Taylor Network, which I'm a proud member of, and he'll put a spoiler thread, and then it's just a picture, and you can only enter it if you want to be spoiled, and I like the way he does that. I don't do it. I figure my thoughts come out in the form of audio in some form or another on one of my podcasts. But I want to open this discussion, so I want to say that please do not listen, because they're going to be spoilers unless you've read this book or don't plan to read this book. And I want to start it off with a powerful phrase to me, especially now as I get older. We're all aging. Bad things happen. Life gets shorter. But for those that love life, you gotta live with a positive philosophy. And this statement means a lot to me because it's what I try to live by. It's every second is a gift. To me, it is. I'm getting choked up on that, just like I got choked up on this book every time I read it. But we're not going to all live forever. Friends, family, yourself, things end. And what this is saying is to embrace the time that you have. And I think that's a very important message. To live life every day and make it count for yourself and for your loved ones and your friends and your work. Be passionate about what you do. Try to make your day matter in productivity and in everything you do. I'll not lie. I'll say I fail at this sometimes, but I try to get it right most of the time. And I think I do a pretty good job. But make every second count. Having said that, I am going to open up this comic book before I start deep diving into it by reading some of the opening statements, because the words are masterful. Matter of fact, every word that comes from this character's mouth is masterful. And some people will think you're crazy, you know, you get emotional about certain things, but I've been there with these characters since the 70s, and I never stopped. So to me, they're a family. Every comic matters to me, and I want to know everything about their history. And this opens up with the clock. And it's very important that this book, not that you don't get spoiled, because some of the magic behind this, some of the punches to the gut, are in the sequence in which you read them. And it's important that you don't get spoiled, because it will not have the impact that you want it to have. And I am so glad and fortunate that 0% of this book was spoiled. The creative team behind this is masterful. And I do want to mention their names, because each one of them had a great part in putting this book together, if I can find the credits. So we have several chapters, and these chapters, they mean a lot to me with one-word phrases. The first chapter is Lost, by Gary Frank and Ethan Van Sciver as artists, and Jeff Johns as the writer. The second chapter is called Legacy. This one is drawn by Gary Frank. The third chapter is Love. And you will see themes in here. Lost, of goals, in my opinion, that DC is trying to accomplish in these words. How do they feel now? They feel lost. What do they feel like they've lost? Legacy and love and life. And that chapter 4 is Life, by Phil Jimenez and Gary Frank. And then you have an epilogue, very important epilogue, because it changes the way I thought of the book, and it changes the way I think of a scene in the particular book on the second read. So how did I read this book? I knew that it would be spoiled, so I wanted to avoid spoilers. So I stayed away from the internet. I only followed the people that I wanted to, that I knew had etiquette to not spoil anything. And I was real careful, and I'm glad that I was, because this book wouldn't have had the impact that it did on me. And what else do I want to say about this is that I read it digitally, which is very, 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 very unlike me. So I read it digitally because I didn't want to get spoiled. And how did I read it? I read it at 6 a.m. right before work. And I was in tears, and I couldn't believe what I just read. A matter of fact, when Barbara came downstairs, I read her some lines from the book, and I showed her some panels, and I started crying again. What a big sissy. But it's important to me. And that's how I read it. And then I read it again on Thursday after I picked up this book from the local comic book store. And most of you will know that I do have a pull list at the local comic book store still. And it's mostly DC, because it's the stuff I want to read first. because that's where my heart is. I love it. But I love all comics. So let's get started. The day I graduated high school, my uncle gave me a watch. It belonged to his father and his grandfather before that. The watch had been handed down generation after generation with an inscription on the back. Every second is a gift. My uncle was an optimist. I used to be an optimist too, until the day the watch broke and I lost it. I lost time. Everyone did. I look down at it and I know without question I love this world, but there's something missing. That is how it opens up. Pow, right in the gut. And you learn who's dialoguing this. It's Wally West, Flash. And he spent most of his time in the Flash costume, but now, I guess the way he sees himself in the Speed Force is with the Kid Flash uniform. He can only see things. He can't break the Speed Force. He's stuck in it. And the first person he goes to for help is Batman. He tries to get to Batman. And Batman is on the monitor and he's watching this Superman, which is supposedly dead. The new 52 Superman, who he was friends with. And if you didn't follow the Superman, the last days of Superman in Action Comics, Superman, Lois and Clark, Superman, Wonder Woman, you really missed out. Because it was a true gem in the vein of a continuous story in the 90s when Superman stories were coming out weekly in some form or another and they were all connected in continuity. What a wonderful story that was. And he goes to find Bruce. And when he's there, he notices this is also a spoiler that's been revealed in Justice League. And Derek Coward IM'd me and asked me how I felt about it. And I think it's wonderful. I thought it was wonderful when I watched the Gotham TV show and they implied it. And I think it's wonderful now. As Batman was on the Mobius chair, he saw three Jokers, three distinctively different Jokers. One was looked like from the Golden Age it looked like from the Golden Age. The other looked like from the Brian Boland time frame, the Killing Joke. And the third one looks from like the New 52. And he's trying to resolve all this. And lightning hits in the Batcave, and it's Wally. And he's Bruce, I am forgotten. He tries to break through. He's like, Bruce, I need your help. He doesn't know. He says, you must talk to Barry. Ask him about the letter from Flashpoint. Look at that wonderful continuity. When Flashpoint happened and the New 52 started, I was one of the few that always believed it was in continuity. This book proves it was. It's just a strange way of doing it. And every book matters. It's all linear. It's all in the order you can read it. Things change. World seems different. But there's a reason for it. In Flashpoint, Barry Allen created a environment by trying to save his mother and caused a Flashpoint event. But what this book does, it extends beyond that and explains it. And Wally comes there and he's like, the connection isn't strong enough. He said, ask Barry, remember how you got the letter, Bruce, the letter from your father, from Thomas Wayne. It's how it all started. In Flashpoint, Thomas Wayne met Barry, our Barry, in this alternate world, dystopian future, where a war was happening between two people who loved each other. Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and two kingdoms of Atlantis and Themyscira were at war and destroying the world around them when a rebellion was their only hope. Someone led by Cyborg trying to recruit the Shazams, Batman. several others to try to find a peaceful solution. And in the end, Thomas Wayne, knowing that his son was alive on this other world, wrote a letter to Bruce. And when Barry handed that letter back to Bruce, he started crying. And you very, very, very seldom see Batman show any kind of emotion. So it's very impactful. And then he starts to get pulled back into the Speed Force. And you get a good legacy origin of Wally West and how he had a troubled home, and the way he would escape it is to go live with Ann Iris and Barry. And that's where he met his hero, Flash. And he gained the powers of Kid Flash. And he looked at life so differently. Became a member of a family, the Teen Titans. And then watched his idol that he grew up with die in Crisis on Infinite Earths, where he took the mantle and he built his own legacy. And that, I've always loved the Flash more than any other character because of Bruce, because of, not because of Bruce, what am I talking about? Because of Barry and Kerry Bates. He made me love the Flash. But I'll be right back. I'm going to pause for the cause because I hear a banging somewhere. Okay, I'm back. And it showed him finding the love of his life, Linda Park. And Linda was always the anchor that was able to pull him in from the Speed Force. I believe it was Mark Waid that introduced the Speed Force, and then Geoff Johns built on that. Geoff Johns built a lot on the Rogues, and it showed how times were good when everyone was part of the family. You had Jesse Quick, Max Mercury, Kid Flash, Barry Allen, his kids, although they don't show his boy, which had slightly different powers, and Jay Garrick. But you would have seen his kids if you read Convergence. Again. When he had his kids, they kind of put Wally on the back burner and then started exploiting Barry as the primary Flash, which led to Flashpoint. Talks a little bit about Flashpoint and how Wally sees this hand coming out of the sky, and that somebody else manipulated time and destroyed the world he knew and morphed it into something else. The next person he runs into, this one's kind of odd, I think, other than that Geoff Johns has a huge link to the JSA. But he goes to the help of Johnny Thunder. And I remember, seems like just yesterday, when I read the first appearance, or a appearance of Johnny Thunder in the first appearance of the All-Star Comics, or All-Star Comics number 4, I think it was, where the team is put together and Johnny Thunder's kind of a joke, and you have Ma Hunkle rip her pants open. But Johnny Thunder is a powerful entity. And one of the things that they implied to me is that the Thunderbolt might have relationship to the Speed Force. And I don't remember that happening before, but it could have in JSA, and I just forgot it. As I get older, I forget things. But he goes to him, and he's in like a home for the elderly, and he's running away from the nurses who are trying to constrain him and bring him back in. And he needs to get out. And this is also sad, because as you see older, you know, people get older, you see loved ones get older, and sometimes they can't take care of themselves, and sometimes you have to put them in a home. And one of the things that breaks my heart about these places is The one thing I'll remember is my grandmother grabbed my hand one time as I went to go visit, and she said, "Get me out of here, Mike." And I couldn't. But it's sad. You know, we all get older, we forget, start losing our memories, you start reverting. Life is cyclical. But Johnny seems like he's the only one believes about a time that was forgotten. And they mentioned that one of his grandkids remembers. And I think they talk about Joni Thunder not wanting to visit him anymore. At least the nurse uses that as an excuse. And if you remember in the 80s, I think it was around the time of Crisis, there was Joni Thunder, the 4-issue miniseries. But anyway, he talks briefly to Johnny, but there's nothing that Johnny can do. And then we get another glimpse of two detectives questioning a woman who was stealing. And you're like, why is this woman stealing? She has an innocence about her. You don't know why she was stealing. They claim that she's from the future where food is free. And they end with showing a Legionnaire ring that was the only thing in her possession. So you know this is Saturn Girl. And she says everything is going to be all right. And the one detective says, yeah, and how do you know that? Well, she says, I've seen the future. So what an amazing piece. And if you remember, Geoff Johns dipped his toe in the Legion, I believe it was in Action Comics and Superman. Another emotional moment. And then we get into the legacy of Ryan Cho and Ray Palmer. He's been canceling classes left and right at the university, and the dean is pissed. The dean is like, what the fuck? I'm paying him to be a teacher, and he's never here. And he's supposed to deliver a message to Adam, and Adam says he's lost in the microverse and he needs Ryan to put on his extra belt and go rescue him and get him. But he says, there's one last thing. God, how could I forget? This is extremely important. When you reach the first world of the microverse, you're going to meet someone. They're going to seek you out. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do not. And then it goes, and he's like, Ryan's like, Professor Palmer, what did you mean? He didn't get the message out. Legacy isn't forgotten. Then you see a scene with Jaime, who's got the scarab on his back, and he's at Cord Industries, and he's talking to Ted Cord. God, I love Ted. So many emotional things come into my mind, and we've seen Ted recently, along with Booster, in Justice League 3001. Might have started in 3000. I can't remember exactly where. Wonderful interaction. They are like the bosom buddies of comics. There are two bros that love each other. Just like I love my podcasting brothers. I love them. Each one of them is very distinct. And I podcast with them. Not because I'm interested in gaining numbers or having people listen, but I podcast with them because I want to talk to them, and we just so happen to record it. And that's the nature of my podcast, except when I'm doing this diary shit. And Jaime's seeking help to remove the scarab, and Ted is like, why would you want to remove it? Look, I got the bug working. We could be like Batman and Robin. And Jaime's not interested in that. He says, I just want to, he has to go to school. The scarab activates and he leaves. Dr. Fate shows up. Dr. Fate says, you do not know who you're dealing with. And he says something different, because all along the Blue Beetle scarab was an alien technology that would have their own core, like there was a Beetle core, and they didn't like the Green Lantern core at all. And you will see that ever since Jaime was created. And he says, "They're not powered by extraterrestrials. They're powered by magic." And Ted's eyes light up. And he's like, "Magic?" So the next thing we see is the handing down of the guard from Hal, because he's off world, to the female Green Lantern, who actually came from the other, who actually got the power ring from Power Ring. And I don't mean the power ring itself. I mean Power Ring, the character from the crime syndicate. And he's saying that he's going to have to team up with another Green Lantern, who we know is going to be in the Justice League book with her. And it's going to be in the Green Lantern book. The other Green Lantern, I imagine, is Hal Jordan's going to be in space, because it's got Green Lantern and the Green Lantern Corps or something to that effect. Then you have a woman come in and talk to Jackson. And Jackson was Aqualad, the Aqualad from the Young Justice cartoon, if you will. Well, he was in Brightest Day comic book, which is a weekly series, and other things. And the only thing they really mention there is that he might be gay now. And then we have Pandora. And Pandora was our link, and DC always said it was our link. In the early New 52 issues, you would see her in the first issue of every comic. She would just appear as an image. And then they actually, what DC 52 did wonders with, in my opinion, was the magic side. And they gave Pandora her own book. They gave Phantom Stranger his own book, which, oh my God, it was so good. Phantom Stranger, amazing book. And then they had the Trinity of Sin book. And there was another one. What am I missing? Constantine was linked to that too. And they had the Question. Constantine wasn't part of the Trinity of Sin, but the Question, Pandora, and Phantom Stranger were. And as things change, this entity, you don't know what the entity is at this time, came and killed her, dissipated her into dust. And that was the end of Legacy. And then we get into the other one, Love. And you get some of the Justice League tie-in, where they have Darkseid's daughter, and they talk about Darkseid having another son and the son having great power. Then you have some mourning of the Superman, where you have all the characters, and while he's seeing them, he's saying, "Someone's died, Superman. I cannot see clearly for some reason, but I can feel what they all do, a great sadness." And he runs across Black Canary and Green Arrow, and he realizes that their relationship and their love was stronger than anything that could be possible. And I recently read an issue of Birds of Prey, pre-52, which showed that love, and it was freaking amazing. And their love was stronger than no other, but Wally, I mean not Wally, but Ollie, being the person that he is, had to cheat and cause the breakage, even though in his heart he loved Dinah like no other person ever. And they talk about that love and that something's missing. And then they go to Lois and Clark, who we've been reading at Superman, Lois and Clark, amazing issue. And they have the son, and the son is watching about the death of Superman. And Lois is saying, "You know, I wish we could pull him away from the TV and go." And then Clark leaves for a minute. He said he had to go. And he runs into a hooded character in a green outfit. And it looks like he's carrying a scythe. And he says that things aren't what they appear to be. Kind of like what Wally's saying. And as I read this, I didn't know who this character was. I didn't know. He kind of looks like the female Green Lantern from when they had that other universe. What was that called? I'll think of it as it comes along. Something to do with the T. they had a universe where they had a different Flash, a different Green Lantern, and the Green Lantern would carry, she was a female, and she carried the lantern around, and she didn't really manifest the lantern. She manifested the lantern like she could see the future and stuff. I wanted to say Trinity, but God dang it, I can't think of it. Old age sucks. But anyway, this might come into play later as you learn what the reveal is. And then you run into Aquaman. And you know Geoff Johns has had a huge run on Aquaman, an amazing run on Aquaman. And Aquaman takes her to Mera to a place where they first met. She tried to kill him, and he proposes. So you could tell that this is love. This is the love chapter. Last but not least, he runs into our Linda Park, and he tries to convince her that he, you know, I'm Wally, we've loved each other forever, but she doesn't know who he is. And he goes back into the Speed Force. She's like, I don't know you. And Linda was always his anchor, and the anchor's no longer there. So he thinks he's going to die. You have some appearances of things that are in the future. You have like a Batman and Robin, which we've seen images of in the Tom King Batman title. We don't know much about them yet. We see the relationship between John Constantine and Swamp Thing. We see Flash as he zips around people that love him to try to anchor him back, or that he knows that he's very familiar with. Captain Boomerang. He goes to Belrive. He goes to where Vic is, one of the Titans, Cyborg. He goes to see Dick, and Dick is sporting the Nightwing costume. And he goes to see his cousin, which is Wally West. They were both named after their grandfather, and he explains the linkage between the two. So he's the Wally West that's on the TV show, if you will, and the one that is in the current Flash book. And last but not least, he goes to talk to Barry. And Barry was saving people. And he said that Barry stops, as he always does, examining them between the ticks of a second to see if everyone needs an ER. One of the kids is hungry, that he brings them pizza. So he said Barry seems happy. And then he comes back to Barry and tries to tell him. And at this point, Kid Flash looks like he's dying, just like Flash died in Crisis on Infinite Earths as he holds his hand. And he says, you don't know who I am, and you won't remember. So this is hello and goodbye. Before I say anything else, you need to go to Batman. Ask him about the letter from his father. Tell him that there's something wrong with history. Someone has infected it. You all forgot things, like me. And Barry says, who are you? And he says, there's no more time. I'm out of time. This is it. Barry, thank you for an amazing life. And he's dying. He says, thank you for your kindness, for your inspiration, for being there for me so many times, and for now, the last time. And Barry says, I don't understand. I hope one day you will. You were right, Barry. Every second was a gift. And he said, that's why I won't die in anguish. I'll go with love in my heart. And when you say that, that's amazing, because when people die, if they could go with love in their heart and go in peace, that's the way you want to go. And as he's crying, as he's going to die and dissipate into the Speed Force, he says goodbye. But Barry grabs his hand and pulls him out, and they embrace. And he said, he remembers, he goes, I'm so sorry, Wally, my God. How could I ever forget you? And they start talking about what's going on and that somebody else is in control, and this Batman's inspecting the letter and chiseling around the Batcave. He finds the happy, the comedian smiley face with blood on it. which indicates the Watchmen. And I fucking didn't see that coming at all. And my love for the Watchmen has only grown over time. When I read the first book, I thought, oh my God, it's the most densest thing I've ever seen. It is a piece of work. It's a piece of art. And I really, really liked it. I loved it for what it was. But then I read when they brought the Watchmen back and told some of the prequel stuff before Watchmen. And then it really bonded with me. I love that before Watchmen exists. I know a lot of people complained about it. And I didn't care. Comics to me are comics. I look at comics as they are here, instead of the creators behind them, which is a little bit different than most people. But I look them at the history of the characters and the comics and the company itself. And then I look at the creators. I love the creators for what they do. To put, like, these creators did an amazing job. And the creators that were put on to before Watchmen did a fantastic job, and I encourage you to check those out. And then you get the epilogue, and you find out that the person behind it is Dr. Manhattan. Punch to the face, kicking the balls, awesome. Wow. Never would have thought that. You know, they could have went several different ways. They could have used Captain Atom, because in the New 52, they made Captain Atom kind of like Dr. Manhattan. They could have went a lot of ways. And then I thought about the rest of the book, and then when I reread it the second time, and Mr. Oz shows up at Clark's apartment, I thought, well, is that Osman Danius? I can never pronounce his name. And is he telling Clark? Because him and the way he saw, he was like the perfect man, Osman Danius. Danius, I can never say his name. He was developed after Peter Cannon and Thunderbolt. All these characters meant so much to me, not because of Watchmen, but because of Charlton characters that they were based on. The Blue Beetle, The Question, Captain Atom, Nightshade. Did I miss any? Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt. I don't think there was a Judo Master analog, but I remember going to Kmart and buying these reprints for like 25 cents each called Modern Comics, and they were reprints of the Charlton comics, the action heroes, and I'd grown quite fond of them. And then when Crisis hit and they threw in all the Charlton characters, my eyes lit up. I was like, I know these characters. I know I love them. And here they are again. And The Watchmen was based on those characters. And I loved them for it. It was a very darker piece of work. But what an amazing issue. I'm sorry I got emotional there. There was so much in this that relates to my life now and in the past as far as characters. Where I really break down is the scene with the Flash and Barry and Wally. It really break down. So this wasn't planned. This is stream of consciousness. You got my thoughts, but they're raw. And that's why I get emotional and I'm not able to get those things out. But I'm not ashamed of it. I think it makes me a better person to be able to let my emotions out instead of keep them bottled up. Because some people keep them bottled up and they could potentially give you stress. I just release them. This had every phase of emotion in this book. It was an amazing piece of work, and I hope that you enjoyed my thoughts on this book. I hope I gave you something different to look at, because everybody and their mother is going to podcast on this. But to tell you the truth, I couldn't do it right away like some people. I needed to read that paper edition. I needed to collect my thoughts. I didn't think I was going to break down a third time, but I did. What an amazing piece of work. And you can contact me at Mike Myers Brunch, Mike@comicbooknoise.com. And Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast or DC Noise Podcast. I don't care where you contact me there. And if you're at Heroes Con, you could say hi to me. I'll be there with my family. When I mean family, I mean all my brothers. And family that I've met, thanks to the one person, Eric, and all those glorious people that took me to my first con on the East Coast where all my friends were, and I got to meet them for the first time. Eric is dead now, in his 30s. It's hard to believe. But I think that Eric would have said, every second is a gift. And I'm going to end it like that.